What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. This is episode number 127.
Sure about that?
I am absolutely sure about that.
It don't sound like
boom, boom, bop, boom, boom.
Oh, wow. Bringing that back.
Yeah.
You know, that's it has been missing
the last few weeks. It has. I haven't done it in a while.
No.
So. Hey, listen.
I got to talk to the
Don't get me distracted. I'm doing the introduction. I have to introduce Elijah before he falls asleep. What's up, Elijah?
Yeah.
What?
Hey, how are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well.
Good.
What's up, Lisa?
You got the head nod.
She does not like you.
I did get a head nod. We're moving in the right direction. It is one of Lisa's favorite holidays today. Do you know what day is?
Tuesday.
No, wait.
I'll give you a hint. It's a holiday when two certain things intersect. You want to? I'll give you another hint.
Isn't it the day when they figure out the difference between the women and the guys pay?
No.
What?
I heard on the radio this morning. It's
what?
A thing. It's
is
a
it
thing.
Really a thing?
It's a thing.
That's not the day.
Okay. It is today, but
Lisa is one of Lisa's favorite holidays. It's Free Trash Can Day. It's the day when Garbage Day intersects with High Gusty Winds.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because in town, it's been Free Garbage Day all day today. Or Free Garbage Can Day all day today.
No, yeah. It's been like real life Mario Kart.
Yes.
I got to be honest, and I've struggled with it because I've really honestly this morning coming in the church, I felt like I sinned a lot. Because as I'm driving, I'm like, dude, you really should get out of your car and pick up that trash can. It's just sitting in the middle.
No, you
should.
Like,
no, I thought you were going to say... That trash can is a lot better than the one I have at home.
No, the ones that I don't. That's the other thing. You guys don't. No, we have the big square ones.
Yeah. So we have ours. Don't blow around.
Yeah, ours don't blow around.
But there was a trash can ended up on our lawn, and I brought it across the street and put it on the sidewalk at the park because I didn't want a trash can. Some rando trash can.
You don't know who it is. You just put it in the park.
You should have just threw it over the fence. So this way, if it blew around,
people don't put their names in the trash can.
Elijah, that is a fantastic idea, but I didn't. I put it on the sidewalk.
And it blew away again.
And it blew to some other person's house, and they brought it back to the sidewalk across from the park. And then we came to leave to go here, and it was in the middle of the street. So I grabbed it, I walked over to the park, and threw it over the fence. See, you were right the first time.
It's okay.
People don't put their names on the trash cans anymore or the address of their house?
No, they don't because you see the progressive commercials.
That used to be a thing.
You see the progressive commercials where he's like turning into your parents?
Yeah. Because back when growing up, man, they go...
So we do have a little bit of bad news, too. Still down Sean Conroy. Last week after the show, we got the bail money. I mean...
You shouldn't hit the guard, man.
I couldn't believe that.
I don't think that actually happened, but... So we went to Wawa, and we all got the bail money. We took it out of our separate accounts. We all pitched in to get him out of jail. Drove out to Reading, and here what had happened was he was put into solitary confinement because they thought that he had had a mental episode while he was in jail. But what actually just happened was he was just saying, like, this is Wicked Supper. He was like, this is Wicked Supper, and I'm a fan of the Red Sox. And stuff like that. And they didn't know. They thought he was just babbling on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up putting him in for like a mental type restriction. And anyway, he's in the hospital, in the infirmary, in the jail. So
okay.
Maybe we'll get him. Maybe we won't. The bail went up. It's like a car when you leave it at the impound lot. It goes up every day.
And then when you see how high that bill
is. I know. It's like, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if it's worth it anymore.
Did you actually talk to him? Because I think he's in one of those dark rooms, and he's trying to figure out a way to just stay there.
So I haven't talked to him, but he was able to send me a message, a text message. And he said, don't come get me. He said, loving life, don't come get me.
Loving life.
So, I mean... Well, that happened. Well, that's right on time. About 5 minutes in. Elijah's out.
Hello, Restream.
Restreamio. So we are, we is Chris stopping in?
Maybe.
We might get a fourth. We'll see.
Hopefully. Hope he's bringing coffee because I'm not going to be able to stay awake.
You guys coming to the, we're having a first world funeral at our house.
A first world funeral. What is that?
Are you getting rid of?
It's when your latte machine dies.
Your latte machine died?
Yeah.
Dude, y'all put some miles on
3,000 lattes out of that thing. It's got a little counter. It tells you how many. Y'all 3,000.
Exactly?
No. No, it wasn't exactly. It's
so it's no saving it?
I'm going to do a little bit of triage.
Wait, it's less than a year old. Shouldn't it be under warranty?
I think it's a little more than a year old.
I don't
old.
Think so.
Do you remember the day? Was it a happy day in your life?
Maybe.
Okay.
Every day I'm alive is a happy day.
Why don't you just go to the French press? Don't you love that thing?
So.
It's not mechanical.
Well, it is mechanical.
But it's not electronic. It's not electronical. That's what I meant. Yeah.
You said electronical?
No, I mean.
Did you say electronical? Really?
What's up, Chris?
I heard that. What's up, Chris? It's not electronical.
Electronical.
Okay. Making up words again.
So, yeah. And in the first world, when your latte machine dies, the only thing you could do is go to one of the other two Keurigs or the French press.
Or the Starbucks up the road.
So, I only have three ways to make coffee right now.
So, what did you do?
I'm going to try to do a little surgery to the latte machine over the weekend and see if I can revive it, but I don't.
Listen, you got the Ferrari of latte machines. I think you need to go back to the dealership and say, you sold me a lemon.
No, they're going to go, it's a Ferrari. This stuff happens, the Ferrari.
How long have you had it?
That's what we're trying to. I think it's a little over a year. He thinks a little over.
Oh, I should be.
We run. I mean, dude, we run that thing hard.
Yeah, but still.
We run that thing hard.
You serious?
It should not have gone down like that.
We run that thing
hard.
Wait,
question.
Yeah.
Did you line up the three little ones and ask them what happened to it?
No, it broke while we were using it.
You sure? Because you got some white kids. They might have set it up and then you thought you broke it.
That is true.
It's trying to get you in trouble over here.
It's like the tortilla chip bag that was in the cabinet this weekend that I went to. First of all, I bought this big bag of tortilla chips, which we don't have in the house all the time, but I'm in the mood. I had like four chips, and I go back the next day. There's like six chips in the bottom, and the bag is split open like a gorilla got into them.
Oh, that's a baby girl.
That's
move.
The worst.
Yeah, it's not. The top was already open, but they ripped the side out of this bag.
That's a baby girl move.
Anyway,
that is the youngest child move.
You a morning person or a night person?
Morning.
Morning. Yeah, definitely morning.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I told my wife, I'm like, I literally can't do anything at night.
Lisa's definitely a night person.
My wife is too.
Yeah. If you need if there's a school project or whatever, she'll be starting it. I'll go to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll wake up. It's done.
That's my wife. She works on Bible study stuff and all at night. I'm like, I can't. My brain just doesn't function at night.
No. Yeah, no. Mine shuts down. Mine shuts down too. I'll have all these grandiose plans for the evening. Oh, yeah. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
I'm going to turn the game on. I'm going to bring my laptop out. I'm going to do some work. Tip off.
I'm like, all right, KJ, come on. We're watching Backyard again. Dad,
you're sleeping like it's the prodigal son, Dad. Dad, wake up.
That's exactly I love that how show. It goes, Dad. Backyard is the truth.
Yeah, definitely a morning person. A pastor way back when called me and said, hey, I just got really sick and I need you to preach tomorrow morning. This was Saturday at like 10 p.m. Woke me up out of bed. I was asleep.
Oh, that's a thing. I can do that. Oh,
no, wait. Before you even finish, like I've called Dave at like 4 o'clock and he's like, I'm taking a nap. It's 4 o'clock, dude. Why are you sleeping?
It's on a Sunday or a Saturday.
It was not a Sunday.
Maybe that was when I was on sabbatical.
You've never taken one, but go ahead.
I did. I took one last year. I was off for 6 weeks. It was wonderful. Almost didn't go back.
6 hours, maybe.
6 weeks.
Are you recording us?
Wait, I'm being recorded?
I don't know. He's got some fancy device in front of his thing.
I would never.
Okay.
So pastor called me at like, oh, that is fancy.
Yeah,
right?
That looks
fancy.
Like, yeah, it does.
Dude, that looks like a taser.
I know.
It looks like an electric. It looks like a blaster.
Yeah, Set phasers to stun. Set phasers to stun.
If they put that in Star Wars in like the 1960s, that'd be the most futuristic looking thing on there.
It does look like something from set.
It does. What is it?
Tricorder.
Is that like a, you kidnap somebody and you can give me $46 million.
That's good.
I want to see how good that sounds, how that works. I'll sample some of our conversation for a beat or something.
If you don't get me
They can't
$20,000. I.
You're
it,
what?
It can't, yeah.
Will make you watch your own children this weekend.
Somebody's giving me to the bank, quick. Give me to the bank, quick.
So this pastor calls me at like 10 o'clock at night, wakes me up, says, I need you to preach tomorrow morning. And I said, okay. And I hung up and I went back to bed. Because I had this little thing in my head. I said, I could either get up out of bed right now and prep for the sermon with a brain full of mush because I don't work at night, or I could wake up early tomorrow morning, 3 o'clock in the morning or something, and get this done. So yeah, I'm just definitely a morning. I can wake up, and I'm really. Are you happy when you wake up?
I am.
Yeah, it varies.
It definitely it varies.
I know. I'm definitely. Looking for Tom. He has company.
All right, we're on the air.
We are live on the air.
We're actually live.
We're under attack.
Yeah. So some strange army guy just walked in. You sure might as well make your face seen real quick. So like, you know, Chris, can you move so he can sit there?
I thought he was serious. I thought he was serious.
Chris was like, I don't want to get shot.
Hey.
Just wake up Elijah and push him over.
Wow. I'm actually kind of awake right now. So.
Hey, I heard something you guys were talking about. There was a coffee machine that needed prayer or something?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. had a coffee machine go down.
This is a first for Prodigal Sons. We have never had somebody just come in and just start talking to us while we're live. You might as well make yourself seen real quick so they can see you.
Yeah, you got to get over into the shot. Say hi.
Yeah, there you go.
Adrian. Yeah. Right? You got a lot of Adrians in your family, Pastor Tom.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really just one.
Only one that matters.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
My grandson, that is.
I knew that's what he was going. I don't know. No.
Here we go.
No.
Ask if Elijah's got a problem with him.
No, he's got a problem with me.
He does.
He lies on me. He picks on me. He starts fights with me, then he runs and hides as if I was the culprit. He does it all, but you don't believe me.
You instigate.
I say, hey, what's going up? And he's like,
I can't believe Chris got up.
I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. It's yeah.
So we're all morning people.
Yeah.
And I think it drives Lisa absolutely crazy. Because I will wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I am just like getting stuff done. I am out of bed. I'm happy. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I got 6 hours of sleep. I'm happy.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I will kill you. She's like, why do I smell coffee? Why are you getting? Anyway,
that's exactly my household. I am up early.
Yeah.
I'm like, my wife's like a teenager, man. She could sleep.
I can't. That's me. Like a Saturday morning, I'm like, I'll get up, I'll look around, I'm like, all right, let's start with the dishes. We start cleaning the kitchen, sweeping the floor, then I start doing the dining room, and then I start doing the living room, and I walk past the bathroom, because who messes up the bathroom the most? The kids. Yep. Toothpaste in the sink.
Yeah, see, I want to get there. I'm not your kids there. I don't get up and get to working, but I definitely pop up out of bed, you know, loud and what have you. I think me and my son probably are part rooster. Like we get up with the sun. Yeah, sun comes up, we can't sleep anymore.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I thought we weren't doing daylight savings time anymore. Didn't like the Senate figure out we weren't doing this anymore?
Isn't this the last one we change and we just keep it like this now?
I believe it's up to the current administration right now.
I thought they decided they weren't going to do it like 2 years ago.
The crazy thing is that not every state does it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not every. That bugs me.
Yeah, it's not every state does it. And
it's like we decided this is terrible. Nobody likes this. Nobody wants to do it. So we're only going to do it like 4 or 5, 6 more.
Not every state does it and all the other countries don't do it.
So it's crazy. My question is, if not every state does it, like the time can change from hour to hour versus state lines.
Yeah.
Well, that happens without.
Yeah, no, it depends on where you are, sir. Don't you dare try and get geographical on me.
Time zones, brother.
Just electronically. Yeah, I ain't forgot. I ain't that sleep.
Elijah, what are the four time zones?
Was it? Central, Eastern, Mountain, and Standard?
You forgot one.
Pacific.
Hey, yeah, there you go.
Standard?
Yeah. Standard? Nobody was supposed to catch that.
Eastern Standard
Time. I said it with confidence, though. Right?
Yeah, yeah, standard.
I said it with confidence. You though, right?
There's Standard Time, and then there's Unusual Time, and then there's Extra Bold Time and Breakfast Blend.
Actually, I think it's called Eastern Standard.
It is. It's called Eastern Standard. That's what it is.
It's Eastern Standard.
So he separated it into two different ones, Eastern and Standard.
It sounded good, though.
If you say it with confidence.
It sounded good. Almost has.
You can walk away and nobody knows the difference.
Hey.
Because when we leave here tonight, I mean, it's 6:45 right now and the sun is still out. I'm a big fan of this.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
You only like it so when you leave, they don't be like, hey, little fella, you need a.
Aww.
You okay?
You all right by yourself? Where are your parents at?
Oh, God.
I got to tell you, I'm really tired. I am tired of Aaron already.
Why?
As a Jets fan, man. I was excited about him, and now it seems like he's holding the Jets hostage.
That's so loud.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you making it paper airplane over there?
The doodle over
I'm gonna,
there?
I'm gonna write the prayer request because I can never find him at the end.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. There's like electronic feedback. It must be Elijah's thing. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Definitely wasn't my phone doing that. What's up, Shay? So, yeah, Jets fan. Seems like Aaron Rodgers is...
Is he a Jet now?
We don't know.
Almost.
We don't know. It seems like he said, all you have to do is give me $50 million. And they were like, okay, we'll give you $50 million. And he's like, and.
I want a deprivation tank in the locker room.
I want you to go get my coach. And then they were like, okay, we need a coach. We'll go get your coach. And then he's like, I got three buddies who all need jobs.
I want a hemp tree at the end zone.
Is it possible to make the locker room completely dark? Well, how are we going to get dressed? We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Can we play in the dark? Can we play our games in the dark, in the darkness?
We have to sing Kumbaya and hold hands over a campfire before every game.
And I'm getting really tired of him already. And he's already. Not. He hasn't even signed on the dotted line, already. And I'm getting really tired of him.
The longer his hair got, the weirder he got.
I thought he should have done himself a favor a couple years ago and gone back to a clean-cut look, and he would look a lot younger. And because it's like you're an athlete. Why do you want to be like old mountain man gray?
So have you changed your view on it? Do you want him now?
I don't. But I don't. I think it's inevitable. I think we're going to give away half our team, which was young and good. And we're going to get his old buddies, his old hippie buddies.
He looks like a bad action movie character from the 80s.
A bad action movie? Like,
so a crappy action movie starring Aaron Rodgers.
Starring, or is he the villain? I feel like with the facial hair in the 80s and the long hair, you'd be a villain.
You'd be a villain.
Yeah.
You would be.
Because... like in the 80s, all the heroes were clean cut.
I don't know, because Steven Seagal had the ponytail. He was clean cut. But
he was very clean cut. Slick back, the whole nine.
Yeah. Baldy or Tim like
could you imagine a kid, a 15-year-old kid? What did he say?
Bow to your sensei. Just out of nowhere.
Could you
That's
imagine
not even a Steven Seagal thing, but he just threw it out there.
Hell.
I don't get any rest, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, we know.
think about your action hero today.
Mm-hmm.
Does Steven Seagal make any sense ever? Dude,
no,
wasn't
absolutely, yeah.
He
no,
wasn't ripped. Not, he yeah. wasn't good looking. Yeah. He couldn't act.
And he was and if you watch his moves, everything looks like he's doing it in slow motion.
That's probably because he was.
And to be honest with you, I think he needed glasses.
Like he had blackmail on somebody, right? He was like, I "You're gonna put me in 46 movies, or I'm gonna tell everybody everything."
40, I think you might be right. 46, that's close. That's close. Horrible actor. Oh man.
All right.
It's this 3D goggles thing.
I keep seeing these ads for 3D goggles.
3D goggles?
Have you the Meta goggles?
I want one. I want one.
Okay.
Let me rephrase that. I want one.
You're talking about VR headsets, well, right?
That was very interesting how you rephrased that.
See that?
Have you ever? So have you ever? Have you ever used anything like that? VR, virtual reality?
No, I've never done anything like that.
It's insane.
You talking about for games?
Yeah.
For gaming.
Yeah, for gaming. It's
like insane. You literally feel like you're in there.
Yeah, yeah. Like you literally start like dipping and dodging like a crazy person. Like,
we should wear those during the show one day.
I thought it was a fraud because when they showed the commercial and the guy was like he was playing Madden and he was like, I want to be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I said, this ain't real. Nobody wants to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't believe it.
The only thing, like, I watch these commercials, and they've got, like, a DJ, and they're, like, she's like, I'm going to adjust this. And I'm like, well, why don't you could do that with a computer. Yeah. Like, you could do that with a soundboard. Why do you need to,
but that
like,
looked
adjust?
Super, that looked cooler, though.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, it doesn't seem to make any sense what they're telling you that they're good at. So it's just for gaming. Is
No, it's not just for gaming. It's everything now. But there's
But I mean like what's the point? If it's for everything, if it's for working, like is a spreadsheet easier if you could just like do it like this?
Yeah, it's somehow more interactive.
Like you can get behind the numbers. You can get inside the numbers.
It's somehow more intuitive. Like you just want to be there. Like you can put your hands on the numbers and there's no thinking to it or anything. You just do it.
So if you want to change a 2 to a 1 instead of like backspace change, you can like punch it.
You just do it.
You just punch it.
Yeah, there you go.
It's now less of a number.
I got one thing to say about all that AI stuff.
What's that?
Skynet.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Absolutely.
Oh, you lost, Tom?
Yeah.
Yes!
Absolutely. No clue this Skynet.
You know Skynet is?
You don't know Scott? You don't know Scott? Oh, wow.
We're past Skynet.
We're very old.
You and like we talked about goggles.
Yeah.
Every single one of us by the time we get home, we'll have an ad on our phone for goggles.
We are past Skynet.
Yeah. We are past Skynet.
So what is it? What's Skynet?
Terminator, the movie.
Oh.
It was
the AI that controlled everything that basically came after everybody.
Gotcha.
Computers took over.
Yeah, computers took over the world. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry.
Great movie. Great fictional movie.
And a fictional thing.
Yeah.
See, I keep thinking these movies are awesome, and I'm like, Lise, we got to watch Terminator. It was so good.
And then you watch it.
And then we watch it, and we're 10 minutes in, and I'm like, Elijah, how do I back out of this statement? How do I back out of that statement? Because this is awful.
Facts.
Yeah. Like, leave them in your memory because they're a lot better there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, we just watched Terminator 2. I was like, you're going to love this movie. It's fantastic. Like 15 minutes
later. Like the makeup on Total Recall?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
How much are these goggles cost?
$300. Oh, they're expensive.
$300 or $350?
Yeah.
Well, that's a cheap one.
And then that's without any...
That's a cheap one. They go into the...
Then what, is that like a little chip that you put in different things and do different like worlds?
That's a computer itself, so the games download to the goggles.
Oh.
Do you think if I put them on and I walked into my kid's bathroom, like they'd be a program where I wouldn't see the toothpaste in the sink? Like it's just a clean sink?
Yeah, in the metaverse, which isn't real.
We're all headed there, aren't we? People are going to live. Wasn't there somebody saying that you could buy real estate?
Yeah, you can absolutely buy real estate in the metaverse.
Oh yeah,
I think it's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But people actually make money, and it's translatable, right? Like it's real money. Selling real estate, selling virtual real estate, real NFTs. Estate that does. You know that old saying that land is what do they say? Land buy land because nobody's making any more of it. Yes, they are. In the
So what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a real estate broker. Oh, that's fantastic. My whole family's looking for a home. We're hoping to find something in like Royers Ford area in the spring. Well, I sell a different type of real estate.
So I could sell you a 15-room house, but you all would be in one room.
Yeah, I could do a house. I could sell you a 46,000-square-foot mansion with 3 pools in the metaverse.
Those aren't pools. Those are sinks.
For $50,000.
I want to say
something. That sounds like a great deal. Oh, I know what you want to say.
I want to say something so
you
bad.
Shouldn't do
Dude,
that.
I'm not.
Be a
but
pastor.
That's the solution.
Be a pastor.
Have you thought of?
I think for the sake of research.
If you're wondering.
We should all go buy one for a weekend and just return it.
if you guys listen to the podcast are wondering what Pastor Tom's talking about, you will never know.
Yeah, that, yeah. Yeah.
With the Lisa.
Who did Unless you want to sponsor the show, then we'll tell you privately.
Who did a thing? Somebody did a thing.
For $2,000.
In the metaverse, which is $2,000 in the real world.
Wow.
So, yeah, that would be a tough one to rest your head on your pillow. We're actually about last week we talked about last week we had a nice chat about work. It's like everybody over on
that side of the
no matter who it is
that just gets the giggles. They laugh at stuff that we don't know what they're laughing at. This guy's watching something else besides the Prodigal Sons.
He's watching Tropic Thunder with Aaron Rodgers on the title.
The producer sent that.
Oh, put that up on the she Facebook
did.
Page.
She didn't. Oh, that's hilarious.
All right, couple things before we.
Did I say Black Rogers? Downey Jr.
Would you rather have a last week we talked about work. So would you rather have a terrible boss? Yeah. I give up. I'm going home.
Terrible boss.
Just talk to me,
Tom. Would you rather have a terrible boss but a great job or a great boss but a terrible job?
Say it again. Would you rather have
a terrible boss but a great job or a great job?
How could it be a great job with a terrible boss?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I guess I would go with that.
No. Been there, done that.
A great. So what would be a great job? What would be a great job for you? Let's run this out.
I can't say right now. I'll say off air. Great job, terrible boss.
Elijah, you got a job to test drive Ferraris on a racetrack, right? But your boss screams at you all day, sends you emails all night.
Because his last name is Ford.
Always talks to you about Ford. I'm so confused.
Ferrari, Ford?
No. No, because that's interchangeable. It's like, I got a Ford Ferrari. Do you now? So you got a terrible boss. He's yelling at you all the time, not letting you take a lunch break. It's a good job, but he can make it miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But you could work at Dunder Mifflin Paper, selling paper products, and Chris could be your boss. And he brings you cake every day.
Is the pay the same?
Yeah, that was my next question.
I mean, the pay's a big thing on
brings
this.
Brings you McDonald's when you're feeling weak.
Answer the question.
Pay is exactly the same.
Okay, well then, that's an easy one then.
Your birthday.
One, at work, you want to be challenged a little bit because you'll get stagnant and you'll really not like the job.
Here we go.
But we said it's a great job. So you'll be challenged. You get whatever you want. You can be challenged, not challenged, whatever your heart desires.
It's all about the boss.
But it's a bad boss.
Part. It's not about anything else.
Or you get a horrible job, you're never challenged, whatever.
A better boss.
You want a better boss.
I'll take the better boss.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I will always take the better boss, I think.
Now, this one, I wanted to ask this question when Sean was here, because I really had a fun mental picture of this. And it's a stupid question, but I'm very interested to hear your answers. Would you rather live in New York City or in London, England? I really had a hard time picturing Sean in London. Which is why I put this question in here. Because I'm like, pack the cabin of Boston Harbor. What you want about, mate?
Sean in London. Bobby's in bricks.
So he's selling bricks?
No, that's what they call a cop. A Bobby in bricks. Sean with his history in bricks.
So he's going back to jail?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Sorry. London Bridge is falling down.
Tom? New York or London? I'm going to step it up in a second, too.
Where in London?
London, city.
You like to change the questions, don't you?
He talked about me.
You're going to live in a city. Is it going to be London or New York?
New York.
Okay, definitely here's a question. Third
amateur.
I cannot believe you allowed sound to come out of your phone, just like Elijah did earlier, then I did.
Actually, my sound is down. That's just an alarm that
tells you that it's time to be on the Prodigal Sons.
Exactly. Tells me that's coming on.
So, for the old time.
I'm only watching it for a half hour. That's when he turns it off.
He's like, I've done what I needed to do.
Yeah. I've done my good deed for today.
I'm off here.
Okay, Tom.
Time to go to Claire's Bible study.
Chris, real quick. Okay. New York, London.
New York.
Elijah, New York, London.
I think London.
Okay.
What about you?
So for Chris and Tom, I'm going to ask you this way. Mm-hmm. You can live in New York, mm-hmm. but you have to root for the Giants. Or you can live in London, and you can root for whoever you want. You can't watch any Eagles games. You have to root for the New York Giants. You can only watch Giants games.
London.
So it's worth it to live on the...
yeah,
on the side of the pond? Like,
yeah,
6,000 miles away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer it this way. I'm a basketball guy.
So you could only watch the Knicks?
No, definitely.
London and the 76ers.
Yeah, definitely London.
All right, that's what I thought.
You watch a lot of Sixers?
Yeah.
Look at the shirt.
Yeah, right? This is the Sixers.
Very observant here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably watch like 95% of the games.
Yeah. I tape all the games so I don't miss anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like a fanatic. I sit there and I rewind.
Oh, man. Oh,
here we go.
Yeah.
You and Dave should hang out.
We should hang out. Yeah. We should hang out. These guys give me a terrible time.
Yeah. So half a dozen times.
No.
Like, I want to know if the ref got it right.
Oh, that's
know,
what he does.
What was
that's
going on the other side.
No. That's what they have the office in New York for.
I knew I liked this guy.
That's what they have the office in New York for.
See, my goal is to back it up enough times that I can get through halftime without watching any commercials.
Exactly. And then
I need to know what's presently happening.
I will start the game later sometimes. Like, I'll start the game like 5-10 minutes
thank
later.
You, sir. Yep, absolutely.
Watch it on DVR and then fast forward.
I'm gonna tell you what's happening. You know what's happening right now? Step Brothers. Did we just become best friends?
Yeah. Record the game, go eat dinner or whatever.
Yep.
Come back, start about 15 minutes late. And then back up every time there's something you want to watch again. Yep. Get through every commercial without having to watch them, and then get through halftime, and then I'll watch maybe most of the second half.
Later. Conroy said London, spelled with an I-N at the end.
Oh, they gave him a tablet in jail?
London.
London. I wonder where London is. Maybe he's thinking like Linden, New Jersey.
Sean.
It's like I won Linden. That can't be. Nobody wants to live in Linden, New Jersey.
Isn't that a boulevard in New York, too?
London.
All right, let's see. Oh, would you rather, this last one, would you rather be in your pajamas all day or a suit? All day, every day. Pajamas or suit?
Suit. I mean, pajamas all day, every day. I'm in them right now.
I know I smelled that. Pajamas.
That's not a question, pajamas.
Yeah, that's
yeah, what kind of, who does that?
Yeah, who would want to be in a suit all day?
I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
You never dress up.
No, I never dress up, but I never wear pajamas. I never wear pajamas. Like, I'm like pajamas.
You go to bed in jeans?
What you sleep in is your pajamas.
No, what?
Yeah, you sleep in your pajamas.
It's called skin.
No, I sleep in sweats.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Oh, my God. Oh, I can't unthink that.
No, I don't wear pajamas. I'm not about to go to sleep, Tom.
Oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
I want you to wear a suit.
See,
next Tuesday, I want you to come in with a suit.
I would rather dress up than dress in. I don't want to go out. I couldn't take the dog out wearing pajamas. I'd feel.
But you said all the time, so that means you'd want to sit at home watching the Knicks in your suit. Like, you got to think.
That's sad.
Like,
yeah. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. That's sad.
Perhaps I haven't thought this one through.
That's sad. RJ Barrett for the win. Oh.
Oh, if I got to wear a tie, I'll go with the pajamas. I was thinking, like, suit jacket.
No, you didn't say suit jacket.
He was thinking about the t-shirt that has a suit drawn on it.
All right, I'll go with pajamas. I'll go with pajamas.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Let's see what Luke has to say. Let's see what he has to say. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees ask, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Stephen would like this episode. Jesus answered them, have you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry?
Who's Stephen?
My nephew. He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. He also gave some of his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man there, whose right hand was shriveled, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for some reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? He looked around at them all and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus.
What'd they do to Jesus, Elijah? He's sleeping.
He's Googling it.
He's gone. He's looking it up. So in Exodus,
what did they do to Jesus?
So Jesus is talking about the Sabbath and why he did some countercultural things in front of the Pharisees and what their reaction was and then his reaction to them. In Exodus 20, verse 8, God says, remember the Sabbath day. He's given the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. And then you fast forward to the New Testament, and Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's doing things that the Pharisees don't think is appropriate, and he's saying the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I found a really, really interesting set of podcasts by Tim Keller, and he does a sermon series talking about rest, working, and then he does one that he calls rest. And I sent it over to the group, and Tom, I know, liked it and listened to it. And so that's what we're talking about tonight, is what is, in a modern world, what does a Sabbath mean and how do we observe it? And personally, I found this, I'm interested to hear, Tom, what your reaction was to listening to it. I'm not trying to claim any credit for it. You know, Tim Keller, Rest and Work, go find it. We'll maybe even throw a link up on the Facebook page so you can find it. It's really, really, I've listened to it about 4 or 5 times. So I think you'll find it worth listening to. But I want to do a bit of a reaction episode to it. And so what does it mean to take a break in a modern world? And you know, one of the reasons I found it really interesting was that I even was telling Lisa a couple weeks ago that I'm having a real hard time on the weekends taking a break and feeling like I'm getting anything out of it. And I know, like, God says that it's good to take a break, but I never really sat down and thought about, like, what is a Sabbath and how do you do it? Like, go to church on Sunday, sure. But it'd be Sunday evening and I'm kind of feeling frustrated and I'm kind of feeling worthless because I haven't gotten anything accomplished. And Lisa works weekends, so it's a little extra hard because the kids are around and, like, I'm doing all the dad stuff without any backup. And, you know, and then Monday morning I'm back at work and I'm like, I don't feel like I get a break. You know, I don't feel like I got any rest. I don't feel like I got a break. And it just, like, started over again. And so, you know, sometimes even on the weekends, I'm like, well, should I just go to work today? You know, where I just work the weekend because I don't feel like I'm getting anything, any rest the other way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's the point of this whole Sabbath thing? And I'll tell you, Tim Keller did such an awesome job of breaking down what a Sabbath is. And I wrote down some bullet points. Please interrupt, you know, if you have questions, or Tom, you know, you listened to it a few times and just interrupt me if you found anything else. But basically, Tim Keller talks about how Sabbath and rest are two different things. That there's sleep and there's vacation mode, but then there's actually Sabbath. They're not the same thing. You can't just say, well, I took a day off. Like, how do you stop working? Mm-hmm. You know, he proposes the question, how do you stop working? And the answer is not to stop working, mm-hmm. because then your body just goes in this mode of, well, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. You know, just like he, and then he equates that to like taking a nap or getting real deep REM sleep. Like two different things. Like you get 8 hours of straight REM sleep, you're awake, you're refreshed. Mm-hmm. You take 8 1-hour naps, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And so he talks about that it's the same thing about like just stopping work versus what an actual Sabbath is. And he also talks about that there's two different, we kind of touched on it last week, there's two different types of work. There's work to make a paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. But there's work to serve people like God wants you to serve. And they might look the same way to the untrained eye.
Yeah.
And just like taking a Sabbath may look like just taking a day off to the untrained eye, but it's not quite the same thing. So he talks about how our culture doesn't reward or even accept some time when you want to take a break. In a fast culture that we're in, we reward people who get ahead. And so we are rewarded for how many hours we work to try to get up to the next level. Go ahead.
I just want to say, like, you that just touched on something that I just experienced, that where you say people don't get rewarded for wanting to, like you said, for wanting to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about this at work, which is when we have a vacation, you have vacation coming up, mm-hmm. and you're like, you know what? I work, I bust my behind, I'm ready to take my vacation. And upper management is like, hey, you got your days. You got your vacation days. Take your vacation days. That's what they're there for. And then when you go in and you put in that request, it's like,
yes,
zock the wind out of them.
Yeah. Oh, it's really not going to. You're putting us in a tough spot.
You got to. And it's like, you want me to be fresh to perform top-notch performance here, but you don't want me to rest. You don't want me to take that time off.
So Dr. Keller also talks about the fact that whether you are the lowest rung on the ladder at the company or you're at the highest rung, you're not expected to rest. The lowest guy, those guys sweeping the floors, is expected to put in double the hours so that he can move up to the
next rung.
Mail room and then move up to the next thing and then, you know, next thing and then the next thing and pick himself up by his bootstraps and live the American dream, right? And the guy at the top is making 50 times what the guy at the bottom is making. So he's expected to work through the night and solve the problems and be, you know, think about the future of the company and you know, appease the stockholders and all that stuff. Nowhere in there in our kind of work model is there any place for rest or for taking a break.
When you explain it that way, I kind of think both ends of the spectrum are exactly the same. Like the guy at the bottom wants to get to the top, the guy at the top wants to stay at the top, so they don't expect anybody to rest because they expect you to keep working, one, to hold the position you have, and two, to move up.
I think one of the cool things that he was talking about was you know, we're talking about this rest, right? And rest doesn't necessarily mean rest, meaning like if you're doing a job and then you take a break and you're taking a break, that's not rest. That's not rest. Rest is almost a mental state, right? And I love what Jesus did here when he was talking to the Pharisees, because he has the authority over the Pharisees because Jesus created the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And the creator is always greater than the creation. Right. So he had the authority over the Pharisees in this whole area, and they were missing the concept. You know, your true rest comes in the hope of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So a lot of times, even though that you're off from work and you're not doing your every regular routine, it doesn't necessarily mean you're resting. Mm-hmm. Right. And when they talk about rest here, it doesn't necessarily mean sleep. It doesn't even necessarily mean vacation. Right, it's a state of mind of the rest that they're talking about.
So
no more worry.
So
calm.
Yeah, we're hitting right on where we need to, right? Because what we're talking about is whether you're the bottom guy at the company or the top guy at the company or you're the small business owner. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is that's because I just put it in there. He said we derive our self-worth from what we do and what we have created. The work of our hands. And I don't know, like I was a contractor for a long time. And when you remodel a bathroom or remodel a kitchen or put a deck on the house or re-side a house or put a new roof on or something like that, there's a moment of like you step back, and it's really rewarding when you get to a point where you can do it on your own home. Because then for like the next month, you walk into that room and you're like, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And what Tim Keller talks about is that there is a reason why we have that within us, that when we create something, that we look back and go, man, I did that. You know, so he talks about like we derive our self-worth from the things that we've created and things that we've done. So, and what he points to is an article when, and the quote is, I think it's Judith Shulevitz wrote the article and says, when the machinery of work, the mechanism of work shuts down, it stills the inner murmur of self-reproach. I had to like think about that for a while to figure out what that meant.
I know, I'm sitting here.
It stills the inner murmur of self-reproach. In other words, saying, I need to push a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. I need to do this. And we talked about last week, we talked about the Chariots of Fire. I was going to say Days of Thunder, and I knew that wasn't right. We talked about Chariots of Fire, where the guy said, I have 10 seconds to prove who I am. And if I don't win, I'm nothing. But the other guy said, does anybody remember? The other guy said, when I run,
I feel closer to Jesus.
And by the way, I got yelled at this week.
Why? Did you misquote?
I did. And I did it on purpose, too, because we were running out of time. And I said, I feel God.
So you paraphrased.
I did. And I got in trouble.
There's nothing wrong with that.
My mom thought there was something wrong with that.
Okay, well, mom said there's something wrong with it. You messed up.
I got so the quote, I said, when I run, I feel his presence. And that wasn't true. He says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. I feel God's creation. I feel close to God. I feel his pleasure. I feel his happiness. And the truth is, as Christians, what Tim Keller is saying is that we are not supposed to derive our self-worth by what we have created. Mm-hmm. We look back at that creation, we say, it is good. But more often, so he says, okay, you look back at the work of your hands, you say it is good. What about tomorrow? What if it's not good tomorrow? What if you're not done tomorrow? What if something gets in the way? What if there's a mistake tomorrow? What if time erodes the thing that you made? You cannot base your self-worth on the work of your hands. Because you will drive yourself crazy trying to prove yourself. And a small business owner talking here for the last 12 years plus, you'll drive yourself crazy trying to prove your self-worth by the work of your hands. It'll be good for a moment, and the next moment it won't be. And if you're up and down trying to figure out who you are, you know, but there was somebody else who would create something and step back and look at it too, right? And go, man, that's good. Does that sound familiar? When God created the world, he'd step back at the end of the day and say, it is good. It is good. It is good. And on the sixth day when it was finished, what did he say? It is very good. And that's what he's saying. He said, we need to get close to God. And that's what Sabbath is to take a break from what we think the world is, what the world is telling us should define us, and actually spend some time being with God in his creation, realizing that if I don't go back to work tomorrow, it's still good. If I mess everything up tomorrow, it's still good because he called it good. And I'm living for him in his creation. Anything else?
No, I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, it has to do with a lot of perspective. I heard that I was listening to this podcast the other day, and the host looked at the people that there was two other people in there, and he said, you know, if I give you $1 million, would that make you happy?
I saw that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Would it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So and if I gave you $1 million, would it make you happy?
No.
right? So
I might be happy, but it wouldn't make me happy.
You know, so both people said yes, and then they're like, okay, so the $1 million, that money really makes you happy, you know, because you start thinking of things you can do. And he said, okay, what if there was a stipulation to that? What if I gave you the $1 million, but that means that you don't wake up tomorrow? Would you still want the $1 million?
Absolutely not.
You know, and their minds change real fast, you know, and all of a sudden you start realizing, hey, so time is more important than money, right? So a lot of people, you know, the whole Sabbath thing is almost like self-gratifying. You know, the Sabbath, they feel that it's a time for them to rest and have fun and go do things that are cool. And but you're not really finding that rest that they're talking about here. That's not what they're talking about with the new Sabbath and the New Testament.
Do you rest?
Do I rest?
How do you rest?
I go on prayer walks.
And you do that a lot.
I do that a lot.
I have to say that to tell the truth because you say that a lot. Dave, how do you rest?
I don't. No, because I don't. I told you I was feeling overwhelmed, whatever. I found this a few weeks ago. And I told Lisa the other day, I said, I think next week I'm going to take some time off to do this. But like, I need to sit down and actually figure out what the plan is before. Because again, I told you, you could take a day off and then you don't feel rested. So
because he also, like, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it.
No, but
and I want to go back into it because I didn't get the chance today. I'm telling you, today just got out of my hands. I wanted to do what Dave did. He also starts talking about a spiritual Sabbath.
Right. And so that's how I was going to end, was he said, God says, remember you were slaves in Egypt and I brought you out. Therefore, observe the Sabbath. So the first thing that he's saying about the Sabbath is you're to celebrate that you're not a slave.
Right.
Which means, what can't slaves do? They can't stop working. So the first thing, one of the things is about the Sabbath is you're making a declaration that my work can stop because I'm not a slave. God has released me from the bonds of slavery. I can stop. It's an act of liberation, again, like we talked about, understanding and reveling in the fact that your work does not define you. You are defined by God. And the third thing is, if you're defined by God, then your day must start with worship. It has to start with worship. And that's where Tom hits it with a prayer walk. I mean, that's worshiping God in his creation. That's rest. That is rest. You got it.
Like last week, everything we talked about last week, I told myself I was going to approach this week of work differently. Like I was working for God and not for a paycheck. It's hard.
It is.
It is very, 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 very hard. It's so hard that I find myself trying so hard, and you're going to laugh, but I get drained. Like, I get tired. Like, I literally want to, don't laugh, I literally want to fall asleep at my desk, even though I kind of nod off sometimes, but it
you
is
sure it's not that your, like, eyelids are heavy?
No,
like, you got
no. Like, it is extremely frustrating because you look around, and then you know you're in the presence of people that aren't like you. That's why I say every chance I get, like every chance I get, sometimes me and Derek always ends up finding ourselves in the hallway talking some kind of scripture, something about Christ, something like that. That gives me a little bit of energy. I go back in there and I try and finish. But just sitting in the midst of people who don't believe, it drains you.
Yeah. Listen, we've real quick. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that feeds back into what we're talking about, though, right? Because you go talk to Derek for
I'm not done. I just, for that to be
re-energized.
For what?
You said you weren't done. I'm sorry.
No, he was talking to me. No. I closed my Bible,
so he thought I. But no, we're not done. I just
no. What I was gonna say is you go back to re-energize, right? And what are we talking about? Rest. Rest is a state of mind, right? So you have to go back out, talk to Derek, re-energize to get back to that state of mind, right?
So that's
similar to what, like, for me, it's just exercising. Like, my mind is constantly running, constantly going two, three things at a time. And so I got to do something to basically shut my brain down, to take the worry away, to take all the, you know, the frustration and the angst away and get re-energized.
I don't know how.
You know, and we've all been there where, you know, we work 2 weeks in a row, and then we get, like, 3 days off, And then we go back to work. We're like, man, I don't feel rested from those 3 days. Yeah. And that's because we didn't rest.
Yeah. Right.
We didn't. Yeah. You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, you might have sat down and watched TV and not and weren't very active, but the mind was just.
We did projects at home, things with our families, all of that. And then when you sit down, you say, you know what? I'm going to sit down Sunday after church and relax. Sunday after church comes and you're still going. And then you look at it and it's like 8:30 and it's like, I did not rest. I'm going to start this week tired.
But there's also a thin line between the conversation we're having where shutting your brain down and finding the rest in Jesus, right? Because some people could still shut their brain down, you know, by doing something.
And then you yell at yourself because I was unproductive today and I shut my brain off and I didn't think about the future and I didn't whatever. And because you're still defining yourself by what you have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so last two things is he talks about sort of like that slavery I brought you out. You know, make sure on the Sabbath day you remind yourself, tell yourself the story of who you are. You know, tell yourself the redemption story of who you are, mm-hmm. not by what you've defined, but what God has defined you as. And the other thing, the last thing I wanted to end on, is that he said resting is an act of faith. And when he explained what it was, to me it sounded like tithing. You know, because I have the financial background, and you guys have heard me preach in church about tithing and financial stewardship and stuff like that. But when you tithe, you're giving God money first. Right? That's what it says, is the first tenth. Mm-hmm. It's not the last tenth, it's the first tenth. You're saying, God, I trust you with this, that you'll provide for all my needs. You're reminding yourself when you tithe that God is in charge. You're not in charge. Your money doesn't define you. And that's what he's saying is rest is an act of faith. It's an act of trust. It's an act of telling God that even though there's not enough hours in the day and there's so many things that I want to get accomplished, I'm telling you that you're in charge. And I'm telling you that I trust you with my future. My future is not in my hands, it's in your hands. And therefore, I can take time off to be with you because I'm telling you that you're in charge. And so that's why it's so countercultural, is because everybody else wants to work. Everybody else thinks you should work. And he said, you are proclaiming, I'm going to take off time from my career. I'm going to take off time from even thinking about my career or my job or my business to be in your presence. And when you do that, you're accepting that other people who aren't doing that could get ahead of you. And it's okay. And he talks about, you know, how it probably won't work because the people who are trying to get ahead of you will end up burning out because they're not resting. But he said that you know, it's hard in this culture to do that, to take time off as an act of faith. Rest as an act of faith. Because even when I take time off, I'm still answering emails from customers. I'm still getting messages from customers and planning stuff for next week. And that's why you start to look at it through this lens and going, I've never taken a day off like that.
My brother always tells, like, he always tells me now, and it's weird when you get advice from your younger brother. Like, whenever I'll start talking to him. And I'm like, I'll say, hey, what's going on with the car, this, that, and the third? Oh, by the way, my job, this. Oh, Elijah, this, and KJ, this. He said, bro, sit down. I'm like, but I got, he said, yo. And all he has to do is say, be still.
Yeah.
Just be still. And it's funny that, like, he and I just bounce that off of each other because he'll do the same thing. And just sitting there, I realized, like, what we were talking about at work and trying to burn yourself out, instead of trying to get ahead, there's a person that's quote unquote beneath me, that upper management is like, she's not ready to learn. She's not ready to learn. She's not ready to learn. But I work with her every day. So I know that she's ready to learn. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take it upon myself to teach her because I don't want to burn myself out. I don't want her to get, you know, put on the spot not knowing how to do something. And everybody's like, well, are you getting paid to train her? They're not paying you to train her. It's not about that. It's not about that. Number one, she needs my help. I'm not going to have her or somebody else pay me to help somebody that needs help. She's got a family to feed just like mm-hmm. I got a family to feed. So, you know, I'd be still a lot.
I will say the closest I've ever come to this rest like Keller is talking about is when we went to camp over the summer. Teen camp?
Mm-hmm. No, kids camp.
Kids camp over the summer. And My kid acts like a teenager all the time, so that's why I think it's a teen kid. But when we went there, and it was very much like, eh, just put the phone away. Like, I'm not going to pull the phone. Like, I'm just going to leave that off. And, like, get up in the morning and go sit outside and read the Bible.
That's what I'm
going to do. And, gonna, like, yep, spend time with the kids, with the kids from camp and learning who they are and, you know, going to worship services and all. Like, that's the closest. And I get back and I feel like, I mean, yeah, your body's exhausted, but your brain has been rested. Like, your soul has been rested. So that's the – so, I mean, yeah.
So I'm so glad he brought that up, because I wanted to say that there's no Sabbath without starting with worship. Starting with worship is so crucial. That's exactly what we did at kids camp. We before the day even started, we got up early, we got together, and we necessarily didn't even talk to each other. Mm-hmm. We just dug into the Bible and worshiped God, right? And one of my dad's favorite psalms is Psalm 100. It was the psalm that I actually sang at that one time in the church. And it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us," right? This whole psalm right here wraps up the whole worship, the Sabbath mentality that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you have to start with worship. You got to start with acknowledging what he has done. He went into the beginning with creation that he saw and this was good, right? Mm-hmm. That's the acknowledgement of knowing what's good. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that's good is Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, then you don't really know what's good, you know? So it's important to worship. When I go in these prayer walks that I go to, I don't just get out of the car and start walking the woods and be like, "Oh, Lord, this is great." No, I literally go into prayer mode, or I'll start singing and thanking him and get myself. It's kind of like the whole warming up before you do a thing. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. You can't just snap into it. And that's why this Psalms 100 is so important to me, because I always tell the congregation, you can't come into church and then worship. Mm. The Lord is asking you. He's little. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. He's saying, before you even get into this church, worship me, praise me. Mm-hmm. Enter the gates, enter the church, worshiping me already, right? Mm-hmm. And when you get in that state, you know, and we had an interesting board meeting that talked exactly about this. Actually, it was brought up by him. The fact that we worship and then we go to church news. Right? Mm-hmm. So we're worshiping God, and we're in that mentality of the Holy Spirit moving. We should go right into the sermon right after that worship, right? And this is exactly what this episode is about. It's exactly what Psalms 100 is about. It's exactly what the creation story is about. And it's exactly about, you know, one of my favorite lines of The Chosen is when Jesus says, "I am the law of Moses." Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, that's what he said in this, too. Let me get back there. When he says... I get there.
You know, it's very well. While you're saying that, you know, it's very interesting that you say that. I've gotten into a habit. I do this every morning, especially very recently, about just thanking God when I wake up. Like you said, are you a morning person? I try to make a habit to thank God for, one, waking me up and giving me another opportunity to try again, you know, at life and whatever, and just, you know, being excited about, you know, the gift, everything that God's done for me up until this point, right? And that's just like what you're saying, getting ready. So I get that, it prepares me for my day and puts me in that rest state of mind that I can kind of tackle whatever is coming at me.
There's been days, and it happens weekly, it happens a lot to me, where I'll get up, I'll start making coffee, and then I'm like, "Lord, I am so sorry that I literally walked up these steps without even saying good morning to you, without thanking you, without praying. I am so sorry." And it happens to me a lot. It really does.
You almost look back like,
What am I doing?
So, Tom, what were you talking about when you said Jesus said, "I am the law of Moses"?
Yeah, I thought that was Sylvester Stallone.
The Chosen?
And the... Yeah, and The Chosen, man. He looks at me and he goes, "I am the law of Moses."
Well, that's what he says here in Luke, where you read before, was he said, "Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man himself is the Lord of the Sabbath."
Yeah.
I am the Lord of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And then the cool thing is Keller breaks this down, and he does such a better job than I do. Okay, so Go listen to it. But at the end where it says the Pharisees and teachers of the law were furious, began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus, who is claiming to be the Lord of the Sabbath. Right? They're saying, what do they do to him? They kill him. Which makes him the Lord of the Sabbath. Because God made creation, made man, sat back and said, it is good. And when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. He made him the Lord of the Sabbath. Yeah. And they made him by crucifying him, they made him Lord of the Sabbath. Because he lived the perfect life, died the death that we all deserved, and gave us the rest and the escape from slavery, and gave us the redemption that we can't get for ourselves. They made him the Lord of the Sabbath. So
yeah, real fast, I just looked him up, and these the episodes, you gotta watch them in order, because it's like, it says work and family, faith and work, then work and rest.
What are you talking about?
Timothy Keller.
Yeah.
Those episodes in that order.
And by the way, if you listen to one of his, you'll keep going.
It's funny because I was listening to it on my speaker while I was...
Why was it funny?
Getting everything out of the associate's office, to the main office, and Pastor Pete walked in, and he knew exactly who I was listening to.
Because I sent it to him, too. I sent it to him too. But he knew. He and I have been. He's been a big fan.
I told him. I said, "Dave, send this to me, man. It's so good."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so good. He makes you smarter. Tim Keller makes you smarter. He really does. And the way he breaks it down is he's so humble about it. He's not like preachy. He's not like, you know, over the top. He's not trying to make it sound so smart that you can't dive into it. I love it because he breaks it down and you go, "I got to write that down." Mm-hmm. Like, anyways.
There's so many bullet points in that sermon. Like, I definitely got to go back and just
steal all of it.
There's just so much. So much.
Book report next week.
I won't tell anybody. If you, cool. If you steal it, I won't tell anybody.
I'm down. I'm down. So it's on me?
Because yeah,
I forget every week.
Every week. But this week you did. I'm proud of you. This week you're awake. That's why.
I couldn't let you, because the name of the show, like, I had to make sure I was up.
He's like,
yeah, I'm like, but.
Like, podcast is going to see that.
Go ahead. People will on YouTube. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go old school. You ready? If we made you laugh, if we made you think.
We didn't make them laugh or think.
No, but seriously, am I closing this? Sometimes profound, sometimes it's simple, but I'm going to just say.
Leaning towards simple.
We're leaning to simple. Thanks for tuning in. Please click the like button. Share us. You can catch us on Spotify, Podcast Addict, YouTube.
America Online.
AOL, which means you've got mail.
You've got mail.
What else are we on? Apple Music, iTunes.
Metaverse.
Coming soon to a metaverse near you.
We got a closing coming up. We got to buy some real estate first. How much do you think a studio is in the metaverse?
It can't be that much.
$20?
I'll buy a studio in the metaverse. Hook me up with your broker.
I'll chip. Gotta sell an NFT or two. Any prayers?
Yeah, let us pray. Father God. This is the day that you made, and we will rejoice, Lord, and be glad in it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father God, for still giving us the passion, the hunger, the fire to continue to do this. 127 episodes in, Lord. We would have never thought that when we started, that we would do over 50 episodes. And here we are, just continuously coming up with new topics, getting deeper into your word, and just growing in fellowship with each other, Father God. For us, it's not about the number. It's not about growing it wide, but growing it deep is what we're trying to do here, Father God. Lord, I pray for the preteen retreat this weekend coming up. As be with Crystal, be with myself, as they entrusted us to run it, to preach and to worship lead the whole thing. And we're excited for these kids, Lord. We had such a great time with them last year. Lord, this is the future of the church. Help us disciple them. Help us just pour into them, Lord. Open up their hearts and just be with them, Lord. Keep them safe as it's a far ride. And we just thank you for the numbers that are going. There's a lot of people coming from the Roysford Church, Thurland. That's exciting, Father God. We also pray for Shane, Lord, as his boss. Man, his boss lost his daughter in a car accident, Lord. And that's just, that's those are the things that make us ask the questions, why, right? Why? But as a Christian, we know that you work in the good and in the bad. And we will worship you in the good and in the bad, Lord.
Amen.
And finding our hope in you is the thing that gets us through, Lord. But we're also humans. Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. We know that it's a thing, Lord. We know that we're going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And just be with them, Lord. Give them a sense of peace. Let them know that you're with them. Let them know that you're guiding them, Lord. Yes. I don't know the situation, the background of the family, Lord, but just be with them. Losing somebody that's young is never, never, ever, ever easy, Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that's going to start snowballing. That year, first year without them, it's just hard, Father God. Mm-hmm. So please be with them. I hope they have a home church that they can just rally around and know that you are present with them, Father God. This is when the Sabbath, this episode that we did today, this is when it comes into play, Lord. When you're able to just know that it is good, regardless of what happens, Father. Pray for Sean. He's praying for healing for Galen. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, Lord. I'm not sure if it's a spiritual healing, if it's a physical healing, a mental healing, Lord. But the cool thing about it is that you know exactly what Galen needs. You know exactly what prayer he needs. So intercede with this situation that's going on, Lord. For Sean to bring it up, it must be pretty serious. So just be with them, Lord. You're the creator and the architect of their bodies, Lord. So you know exactly how to heal them, Lord. You are the great physician, Father God. So just be with them. Lord, we pray for the Woodleys. I am so excited to see them, Father God. They are just such blessings serving over there in Papua New Guinea, Lord. Just be with them. We're excited to have them. We're hoping to have them on the show. And just, I know they're coming Monday, Lord, so just give them a safe trip. Make their stay here fruitful. And I know they got a lot of different churches that they're going to go speak at, Lord. So just be with them and the kids. And thank you for being able to provide an apartment in the church that we're able to just offer to them, Lord, because that's not something that every church has, but we're able to do it. And thank you for the servants that got that apartment looking the way it did, Lord. It looks amazing in there. Thank you for that, Father God. I pray for the guys that are all here. I pray for everybody in this room. Be with them. Thank you for bringing them here. Thank you for having Chris Pooley again and my nephew surprising us and coming in here, Lord. And we got the kids coming, listening to us, Lord. And we just thank you for this ministry that you have provided for us, Lord. We thank you for the Bible study that's going on in the other room, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And the Spanish classes that are going on and Sarah's guitarist lessons, Lord. You are growing this church, Father God. There's so many different ministries that are going on in this church to glorify your name. And it's so exciting to see the fruits, Lord, and be able to bring the community in and not say, hey, man, come to Sunday, but bring them in to just know that we're here and know that we care for them. The basketball ministry that went from 2 to 35, Lord, be with them, Lord, and thank you for them. And just, we love you, Father God. This whole prayer is just a worship to you because of the great God that you are, the faithful God that you are, and thank you for the grace that you provide on a daily basis. Because I don't know if we can make it without that, Father. We love you so much. For it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Elijah, wake up. Time to go home.
E.
Oh, he's got some deep rest going on.
He is out.
He's in the Sabbath.
Right he is.
All right, guys. This is episode 127. Love you. See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Is he still praying?
Yeah, he's praying.
Yeah?
He's still praying.